We bought this house for like $150,000. We're down to $350,000 now. No one has viewed it. And it would have sold for, in one day for $400,000 in May. Now $350,000. Nobody wants it still. So will we sell it for $325,000? That's a big drop, but it's still twice what it was when we bought it 2 years ago. Someone scheduled for foreclosure. They do have equity. They're not going to be able to just list it on the market and sell it as fast as they could before. Now that we've got 3 months of inventory, it's a great opportunity for investors to be that middle mark there.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the CarrotCast podcast. I'm your host, Brady Winder. Today is our very first special episode of our Market Harvest, where we're bringing you the real estate industry data and headlines happening right now that you need to thrive in today's crazy, ever-changing economy. First, we're going to uncover what we're seeing in Carrot's internal data behind the scenes in terms of leads and conversion and search trends, things like that. And four motivated seller leads. And then we're going to bring on a couple very special guests, Mr. Tyler Ford, who you've heard and seen on the podcast before, investor, agent, hybrid out of Tucson, Arizona, and Mr. Aaron Amuchastegui from Austin, Texas, who is the owner of Roddy's Foreclosure Listing Service and has a lot of very unique insight and data into foreclosures that are going on right now. So we'll be able to dive into that. We're going to keep it short, punchy, to the point, and hope you guys get a lot of value out of this episode. So the first thing we're seeing at Carrot, our data behind the scenes is conversion rates for July were up 20% over July of last year. And so this is visitors on Carrot websites converting into leads. 20%, that's a huge increase. And up 9.5% just from the levels they were at in May. So what does this mean? That means that 20% more leads in July over last July and 12.5% more leads over earlier months this year. So traffic is staying pretty steady. And so this means that it's an indicator of high intent audiences are looking for more information online right now, aka more motivated sellers. So there's more motivated sellers searching and they're converting at a higher rate. We're going to talk about the leads per member on average, like how many leads Carrot members are generating. On average right now, over the last summer, we're seeing 5 more leads per member than last summer. So if you look at June and July combined, June and July 2022, average Carrot members generating about 29.2 leads a month versus in June, July of last year, it was 24.5. So that's a 13% increase in leads just over last summer for Carrot members. And so before I bring on our guests, one more thing that I wanted to mention is you may have seen if you're watching Fox News, or you may have seen the article on New York Post recently, is this headline about sell my home fast search spikes. It was something around 2,000%. I don't have the article in front of me, but there was an article about this search phrase spiking. Now, for context here, this was in a short period of time. This is like within a few hours. There was an announcement that happened and a lot of searches for this happened at once. But for anyone that saw that article or read that headline, I wanted to give you context that over the last 3 months, search volume for sell my home fast is actually a little bit down. And so just context for that article, but nothing to be discouraged by since overall we're seeing more leads to our member sites and a higher conversion over the past year. So anyways, hopefully you get a lot out of that data. Let me know if you think it's valuable. Email me at brady@carrot.com. Want to introduce our guests, Mr. Tyler Ford. Aaron, welcome to the podcast. How's it going, guys?
Good, Brady. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hi, Brady. Good to be back on.
Before we get into the headlines real quick, we got about 3 or 4 headlines we want to cover. Aaron, give us some quick context into your background in foreclosures and why you're the guy we chose to talk to about this today.
Yeah. So I was a home builder in 2005. Housing market crashed in 2009. We didn't know what we were doing. I discovered courthouse step auctions in Sacramento, California in 2009. There was 3 of us in the courthouse that day. There was hundreds of houses selling. I ended up buying, fixing, and selling over 1,000 houses over the next 3 years, just all courthouse step purchases. In 2012, by the time I left that market, instead of having 3 people bidding on 300 houses, we had 300 people like bidding on 3 houses. So I moved my operations out to Texas, been buying foreclosures out here. And I also own Roddy's Foreclosure Listing Service, which is the data provider. If someone is going to buy a foreclosure in Texas or buy a foreclosure lead in Texas, they buy the data from us. We're the only, you know, complete provider. And we have all the data. We have people standing at the auctions collecting what sold, how many bidders were there, things like that. So we're a pretty unique foreclosure, you know, expert, I would say, out in Texas.
And how long have you been doing this for? Roddy's Foreclosure?
Bought my first foreclosure in 2009, I took over Roddy's Foreclosure Listing Service in 2017.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that, man. So the first headline we have here's MarketWatch.com claims that foreclosures are up over 219% since the first of this year. What are you seeing in your data as far as for number of foreclosures?
Yeah, I'm going to share a graph really quick. I'll tell everybody about it as we're seeing it. Here it is. Okay. Do you see, a graph that, you know, so it has like historical counts of properties on there. So guys, this graph starts January 2019 on the far left, runs to September 2022, this upcoming month. And these are foreclosures posted in an average county in Texas. So this is Collin County. And from 2019 to March 2020, the world was pretty normal. And we see 100 postings a month, 130 postings a month. The lowest was 85. And then right before COVID became COVID, it was 125 properties scheduled for foreclosure in Collin County. Once COVID hit, foreclosure moratorium started, the amount of people posted every month went dramatically down, went from 130 down to 50. So that was like a 70% drop. You know, and if we go to kind of the January 2021, February 2021, there's only 17 houses scheduled for foreclosure that much, which was 90% less than right before COVID hit. So, and then looking at their stat, if we go to January 2022, so beginning of this year, there was 30 properties posted for foreclosure in Collin County. I think when that article came out, the September postings weren't done yet. We just uploaded this data just like 3 days ago onto our website. But for Collin County this month, we are back to pre-COVID numbers. It looks like 107 postings. And so when you're looking at in January, there was 30. Right now there's 107. That's a 300% increase in Collin County. So we're seeing different levels of increases throughout the state, but we're definitely way up from the beginning of the year. But the caveat is it is pretty much what it was before COVID, which is a kind of a normal foreclosure market, but that spike is really steep. So October will be really interesting to see if it goes even further than it was before COVID. Like, do we have some sort of a crisis looming, or is it just back to the level it was before that?
Interesting. Yeah, it's helpful context to know that, yes, that spike is steep, but it's still pre-pandemic levels.
Yep.
Well, I've got a question for Aaron. So one of the things that I'm seeing is a lot of people during COVID, they went into forbearance where they weren't making their payment and they had no idea that the difference was going to be tacked on. Are people now discovering that they've got this huge balance? And then the other thing that's happening too is when we're going to close on our property where they didn't make their payments, getting the payoff has become really difficult because of the additional amount that was tacked onto their mortgage. Do you think that has anything to do with what's going on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that are causing the spikes. Most people did not realize that forbearance was going to add this amount. And so we'll get offers that we make to people pre-foreclosure and the payoff comes back much higher. I think a lot of the people that went into forbearance, though, that forbearance expired 5-6 months ago for the most part. And so most of those people, as it came due, they got posted again. They had a ton of equity. It was a hot market. They went straight to buyers like you and they sold most of their stuff before it actually went to auction. I think there's two things causing the spike right now in Texas compared to California. In California, there's a 90-day posting process. In Texas, if you haven't made your mortgage payment by the 7th of the month, you're scheduled for foreclosure 3 weeks from now. It is a fast, fast process. So if you missed your August payment, you're scheduled for foreclosure in 2 weeks. In other states like Oregon and California, that's a 3 to 4 month process. So I think this newer spike is really showing some of the, you know, some of the implications of inflation, of, you know, people just not being able to quite afford it. And is that fine? And there's probably still some people coming out of forbearance inside that too.
Awesome. Thank you guys for sharing that. Appreciate the info. Next headline we have is National Association of Realtors, NAR, is reporting that existing home sales were down 5.9% in July. Time on market has increased significantly over the past few months, but it's still a seller's market. And so I want to ask you guys your thoughts on that. But first, something interesting. Another article here is from Realtor.com is top 10 cities where the number of homes for sale is climbing the most, so climbing the fastest. One of the things that we've been hearing from members is they want to know up and coming markets. And hopefully this is something valuable where you guys can keep an eye on what, you know, market specific trends. I'll run through these real quick. One, Panama City, Florida. Two, Lake Havasu City, Arizona. It's close to you, Tyler.
Lake Havasu.
Havasu. I knew I was going to botch that. Lake Havasu. Three, Provo, Utah. Four, Reno, Nevada. Five, Merced, California. Six, Lake Charles, Louisiana. Seven, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Eight, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Nine, very close for to Care HQ, only an hour and a half down the road, Medford, Oregon. And then number 10, Aaronstown, Austin, Texas. What are your guys' thoughts on, you know, home sales being down, inventory, things like that?
Well, I would agree. So I track our local market. I do a video each and every month. It's one of my most visited videos on YouTube. And our market has definitely slowed down. And I predicted May, June of 2022 was going to be the height of the market in terms of home values. So things have definitely slowed down. It's still a seller's market because the one number that I track each and every month is inventory. It's economics 101, supply and demand. And, you know, COVID hit, supply went drastically down, demand up, and caused inflation double digits. But inventory levels are still low relative. So until we see inventory levels continue to climb, I think we're normalized in terms of appreciation rates, going back to more of a 4 to 8% appreciation and not seeing double digits. But the market has definitely changed, days on market going up. Things are changed, but it's still a seller's market. But I think we're slowly starting to move towards a neutralized market.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. It feels like before the end of the year, in the next couple of months, we're going to start to see, because right now, months of inventory, for example, in like San Antonio, Texas, went from like 1.2 months to 2.6 months of inventory this month. It was 2.6 months of inventory before the pandemic. Like January 2020, it was 2.6 months of inventory. Today, it went to 2.6 months of inventory. It'll be interesting to see if it holds there or if it continues, you know, this big bounce up. What we've seen, Austin is a really hot market. I think the level of correction people will see, or the level of demand, or, you know, what people need is going to depend on how fast things went up over the past year. I listed six flips on the market this last week. We had offers on three of them. Two of them fell out within 2 days. We have one in escrow out of the six. Now, had I listed those in May, all of them would be in escrow by now. And then I have a house in one market, for example, where we saw huge appreciation over the past couple of years. We bought this house for like $150,000 in May. In that neighborhood, that plan was selling for $400,000. We listed at $375,000 in June. No one went and even viewed it. We're down to $350,000 now. No one has viewed it, and it would have sold for in one day for $400,000 in May. Now $350,000. Nobody wants it still. So will we sell it for $325,000? That's a big drop, but it's still twice what it was when we bought it 2 years ago. And so we're going to see a lot of that. I think everyone that's in default right now that's scheduled for foreclosure still has a ton of equity. Everybody has a ton of equity. And so I think that's the big opportunity for investors in all of this that we're seeing, especially even in some of those hotter markets. Someone scheduled for foreclosure, they do have equity. They're not going to be able to just list it on the market and sell it as fast as they could before. Now that we've got 3 months of inventory, it's a great opportunity for investors to be that middle mark there.
We got one more headline I want to cover before we wrap it. But quick question on that, Aaron. About how long, well, I guess both of you guys, I would assume you're trying to get through your flips pretty quick. You know, what's your average turnaround time right now with flips? And are you doing anything to try and speed that up because you don't know where the market's going to head?
I'll go first really quick. So most of the flips we have, we bought like in May. And so our big goal right now is liquidate at whatever price we can.
Yeah.
Because in May we were buying based on this market's hot. We can be a little bit more aggressive. We can buy a house that's a little funky. We can do the other stuff because it'll sell. And now we're like, it is not that way anymore. So we're just going to clear the table. We're going to sell whatever we have. I made a lot of money from like 2009 to 2012. The market was going down every month, but we bought houses accordingly. So I'm trying to get rid of the ones that I bought when the market was going on fire and just reset and then start buying again. In a downturn market, you want to go as fast as you possibly can. So whereas before a two, 3 month construction, no big deal. We have some of those, some bigger ones. Mm. Now we're focusing on the 1 or 2 week, you know, carpet, paint, appliance specials instead. I don't want to do anything that's going to take a month to flip right now because I don't have any idea what the market's going to look like a month from now.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting. Tyler?
Yeah, I would agree. The days of the California suckerfish, people chasing the top end of this market are gone. So my model is a little bit different. I do a lot of hoteling. So to me right now, everything's a hot potato. It's get it, take it down, and then get it resold as fast as we can. We're not doing any rehabs. We do the light rehabs and then just get them sold off to investors that want to do rehabs. But we're pricing 10 to 15% into the market when we make our offers, just thinking that, you know, when and if we do get a pullback, we've got that priced in. So we're not going to get stuck holding the bag. Because I learned the lesson the hard way back in the last meltdown and basically had to start all over and lost pretty much of everything because I was way over leveraged. So I'm a little bit more conservative just because of the lesson that I learned when it happened last time.
I love that. Last headline here, and we'll wrap it up. According to Inman, new home sales plummeted 29.6% from July 2021 to August 2022. I think that's an interesting one. What's your guys' thought? And like, why do you think that is a new home sales? I mean, my thoughts due to supply and what's happened with supply chains, but what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll jump in really quick. I used to be a new home builder. One of the things that happens with new homes is you get a buyer for the house 4 months before you're done and they get approved to buy. And if people can afford a $600,000 house, they're not buying a $300,000 or $400,000 house. They're buying a $600,000 house. Everybody has giant appetites. So they're going to buy at the top of their market. One of the things that happened a couple months ago when rates changed is houses now were complete. Now it was time for people to lock in their rates and they could no longer afford a $600,000 house or a $500,000 house. So the biggest reason for those builder plummets was the so many cancellations that are just essentially based on people can no longer afford that payment. They're just no longer approved to buy that house. They will probably still buy a house. Now they will buy a house that's smaller, but they have to mentally become okay with how different that is. And new homes are always a premium. They're going to cost between 10 and 20% more than a house that was even the same plan a year ago in that market. New has that premium. And when affordability changes slightly and those rates change slightly, a lot of people are going to say, instead of paying 10% more for that new home, I could get the same house now as a resale instead for a lot cheaper. So that's the biggest impact that I think is impacting new homes.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. That makes sense. I didn't know you were a new home builder.
I used to be. Never again.
Well, used to, yeah.
I spent 15 years in the mortgage business. And as rates go up, debt to income ratios change and people can no longer afford what they got into. And at the same time, you know, consumer confidence is way down. So if people have the ability based on their DTI to get out, and a lot of contracts are written that way, you know, they're able to get out, get their earnest money back. And I think that has a lot to do with what's going on.
That makes sense. Consumer confidence being down. Well, thank you guys for sharing that. One quick thing before we close it out. My producer Braden was kind enough to find the event that we were missing earlier. It was the GDP report that happened, which raised fears that the United States could be entering a recession. And so it was that fear in the news of like, are we headed into a recession? I need to get rid of my house. And so that's what caused a sell my home faster spike.
Yeah, and it goes back to consumer confidence, you know, and it's an internal thing. And when people collectively start feeling that way and markets shift, it just happens.
I would not have guessed that at all. And maybe it's just that some of that idea too. I wouldn't have guessed that affects people's confidence in their houses. Cause I was just thinking part of that was like people realizing like, oh man, housing market peaked in May. Now I just got to sell. like before it goes down. But the very cool. Good job finding that.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the spike is wild. Go look it up on New York Post, or we'll link it up in the show notes as well, or come to the blog post and we'll pull it up here. But that's it. That's a wrap. It's been a challenge for me to talk this quickly and on a timer. But hopefully y'all got some value out of this. If you have any thoughts, if you have any ideas or things you want us to talk about or something we might have missed, email me, brady@kara.com. We'll talk about it on our next monthly harvest with our next special guest for next month. But Tyler, Aaron, thank you guys so much for joining me. It's been fun.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Good job, Brady.
Thanks. We'll see you later.